Now, after the Christchurch killings a couple of weeks ago, Australians have slowly come to grips with how race and ethnicity is discussed in this country. More than 75% of Australians identify with an ancestry other than Australian, making it a uniquely diverse country. Yet certain quarters of our politics and media still engage in old-fashioned race-baiting tactics. And after finding out the killer of Christchurch massacre was Australian, there is a need to ask whether our anti-discrimination laws can better shape the discourse surrounding race toward something more benevolent. And to discuss discrimination and the law, I'm joined on the line now by Simon Rice, a professor of law at the University of Sydney. Simon, thank you very much for your time.
Hello, Julia.
So what do Australia's anti-discrimination laws look like? Just to give a little summary to start off with.
Sure. Look, there are state and federal laws. So there are national laws and there are laws in each state. There's New South Wales laws. But they're all fairly similar. And what they do is they identify personal attributes that are protected. And the most commonly known ones are race, sex, age, disability. And then they prohibit conduct on the basis of those attributes that causes disadvantage to people. So they're the discrimination laws.
Sure.
And then there's a little subset of vilification laws, which are much more specific about conduct that causes offence or incites hatred. And they're what's loosely called the race hate laws. So they're like a subset of the broader anti-discrimination laws.
Right. And so what about the rigidity of these laws? Are they kind of enforced, or are they more symbolic and theoretic?
Well, it's a very good question, because enforcement is obviously at the heart of a law. Laws, just in general principle, serve a number of purposes, and lots of laws are symbolic. They do stand for a principle that you want people to adopt without enforcement. The very fact that a parliament will pass a law is a statement of public policy and principle. So just having an anti-discrimination law is a statement that we have certain views on treatment of people and equality. But then there is the further question of enforcement. Our discrimination laws are quite old-fashioned. They're all based on a model that from the 1960s, roughly, they look like English discrimination laws. And enforcement is in the hands of the individual. So it's when somebody is discriminated against, when somebody is wronged, they're the ones who have to make the complaint and pursue the wrongdoer and get a remedy. So you've got the perverse situation of the person who is subject to discrimination, that is, you know, in a less powerful position because they've been discriminated against, they're the ones who actually have to enforce the law. There's no independent government agency that runs prosecutions or complaints.
Right, right. And, you know, going back, there was a huge debate about 18C a few years ago with suggestions of weakening the law. Do you think the average Australian supports the Act as it currently stands? Do you think the Act balances freedom of speech and anti-racism quite well?
Well, on your first question, do I think people support it? I know that they do, only because the then Attorney General, Senator Brandis, called for submissions. And the submissions by 2-1 were in favour of the current law and opposed any change to it. There's very, very strong support for at least a statement in principle by our government that we don't tolerate vilifying speech. So I don't think there's any argument there. There are certainly people who want to contest it, but a proposal by the government to change it was very soundly rejected and was withdrawn. So I think we're past that. The next question is how well does it work?
Balancing freedom of speech and anti-racism.
Yeah, look, as a balancing exercise goes, the balance is well in favour of free speech. Mm. We start from the position in our legal system that free speech is permitted. You know, that the bottom line is you can be free to say what you want to say, and then you have to look at what legislation has limited that when governments have said, yes, but here are some limits. And those limits are extensive. There's defamation, there's misleading conduct in commerce. There's no shortage of laws that put limits on what you can say. So on that approach, 18C is just another limit where the government has said, look, say what you like, short of offending people on the basis of their race. So that's one way of looking at it, is it's just another limit with many that the government, Parliament has said represents social values. But we can go a bit further. And even in 18C, there are exceptions that say you can cause offence on the basis of speech if you're doing it in with good faith, that is, genuinely trying to contribute to public debate in public comment. You can do it in academic commentary. You can do it in artistic performance and so on. So there are plenty of carve-outs that allow a lot of room for free speech. So I'd say the balance is firmly tipped in favour of free speech, but the statement of principle is there that you do have to be mindful of people's race.
Sure, sure. And I guess it's allowing people, I guess hate speech is where it all starts, and then we get to radicalization. And
Yeah.
So it all kind of starts with that. How effective are these laws in bringing about social change, would you say, just to wrap up?
Well, that's a bit of a holy grail for researchers, yeah. I think a fairly good example that everyone's familiar with is we have criminal laws that say don't hit anyone, don't kill anyone, don't rob from anyone. But every day people kill and rob and hurt people. So the law, you've got to accept that laws only reach people at certain times, and lots of people will disregard them for various reasons. So it's very hard to track effectiveness of law to conduct when you can show that every day they're being disregarded. So the discrimination laws, you're right, the intention of discrimination laws and vilification laws was to bring about social change, was to get our society to be a more conscious, aware, compassionate, tolerant, embracing society. And that's really an answer for the social scientists. And it would seem that we have a much greater sensitivity to questions of marginalisation, sex, race, disability than we had before. Most of us would say, boy, 20 years ago, I wasn't aware of people's race or disability or gender identity in the way I am now. So anecdotally, you can say they have led to much greater consciousness. Whether people are actually behaving differently is much harder to track. But again, I think people would say, well, 20 years ago, we probably didn't think as much as we do now about not employing a person with a disability or advertising a job that was weighted in favour of men. So anecdotally, you could say we're getting the message, but empirically, to show the connection, it's really, really hard.
It is hard, but you can definitely feel it. As you say, we have come some way, especially after this massacre, seeing the outrage in the wider community can reflect that.
Sure.
And, you could argue that the majority do not support what happened, and this kind of rise of radical right isn't, it's a pocket, but it's still a threat. It's still there and we have to acknowledge it. But like you said, I think we have come
much
a long
greater
way.
Consciousness. Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I wouldn't say we couldn't claim that the law alone is responsible for that. The law is part of a much bigger policy plan of awareness, multicultural awareness, leadership, advocacy, what's reported and what's said, but certainly knowing that the law is there behind it makes a difference.
Exactly. Well, Professor Rice, thank you so much for your time on the show today. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. Thanks, Julia.
Thanks. That was Professor Simon Rice, Professor of Law at the University of Sydney, giving us a bit of a better understanding of Australia's discrimination laws and the current climate of race and discrimination in wake of the recent massacre in Christchurch.